active and in the imperative. There's things that we must do because of. And that's the scripture will teach us things that we must do because of. And many times the indicative is what Jesus did for us. So here's what we do. Which is how Paul presented giving in 2 Corinthians. Because Jesus became poor, he said, then we should give. He became poor so that we could become rich. You should, out of your abundance, bless others. And he used the indicative for what we need to be doing as an imperative. And so that's exactly what we have here. We have, Jesus has all authority. All authority in heaven and earth now. There's no conquests yet to be won. It's done. There's no dominions that are not under that authority and that dominion. And that's what Philippians 2 said. It said that he was going to have a name above every other name. He was going to be given a name above every other name. At the name of Jesus, and then it says anything that you can think of is going to bow to the name of Jesus. And so he says, right now, I've got all power in heaven and earth. Make disciples, baptizing them full immersion in the singular name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey everything whatsoever I've commanded you, and I'm with you always. A promise at the very end, the presence of God at the is with us always. But the imperative is making disciples. Which is the real verb, and the participle verbs that go with it are baptizing, going, and teaching. So how we make disciples is we're going, baptizing, teaching. And the reason why we're baptizing in the name of Jesus, which the scripture says the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, is because Jesus said all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So now you're not making disciples for a church or for a personality. You're making disciples for me. And there's power and authority found in the name of Jesus. And to teach people to obey, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now, this is a doctrine that's been very much attacked as not necessary. And if you're here and you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to tell you it's absolutely necessary. And I'll show you by the scripture. But right off the bat, the imperative of making disciples that obey is impossible. If you do not obey what the Lord has just said, if you do not obey this and you repeat this, you are not obeying anything. I wish obedience was as easy as repeating it. But if you're going to obey, you've got to baptize in the name of not a name, not a name, not a name. You've got to baptize in the name that's got authority. Jesus. And so I can't just baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost and never say Jesus. Because within this name, you've got these natures, these characteristics, these, among many others, you're missing here the word and you're missing here the blood. There's other things that the Lord capitalizes in reference to his identity. And so we don't have to just find every possible thing that he could be to us and that he is to this world and then name it in baptism so we have it and are it. You just baptize in the name of Jesus. And then you've got the word, you've got the blood, you've got the Father, you've got the Son. You've got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has no name but Jesus. The Father has no name but Jesus. And obviously the Son has the greatest name given to him by inheritance. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 3, Jesus. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ that brings the full revelation of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is upon which all confessions or professions that you read about in the church are given. And you can read about it in church history, where 325 AD people quit baptizing in the name of Jesus and then begin baptizing solely in this verse here, verse 19, because it's the words of Jesus. We repeat it, which is not obedience. And so, to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. I've got to teach these people to obey. And the first step is baptizing. And so for me, in order to get you to obey what I've been commanded, that right there is going to set the precedent. That right there, baptism, full immersion into the name of Jesus, which you are being baptized into all He is. You are being baptized into this authority. You're being baptized into His people. You're being baptized. It's more than just being baptized into the remission of sins. It's more than just being washed clean. It's more than that. Way more than that. But when you're baptized into the name of Jesus, you are literally into this name of Jesus. And when you see Jesus, and we've never seen the man, and this is, nobody's ever seen God, the only begotten of the Father, which we find out in John 1:14, full of grace, full of truth. He's tabernacled among men. And then we understand what part of the tabernacle that He was. And Hebrews 10 and verse 20 says He was the veil. He ministered, but He was the veil. So you look at Him, you don't know that's God. It wasn't God revealed. It was God veiled. It wasn't fully understood until after His body was ripped. And now, as He rises from the dead, boom, wait a minute. This is who the prophets were talking about. This is who the prophets were talking about. He said, aren't you, you guys are so slow of mind, Luke 24. Don't you remember what the prophet said? That He first of all needs to suffer and then He's going to rise in glory? And they're saying, but we thought He was different than you. We thought that the one in the 39 books was different than the one we're looking at. We thought you were the kid. We didn't know you were the God. And so it was God literally veiled until He was ripped in two, His flesh. And now we've got this bold access through a new and living way. A new and living way, which literally makes everything by ripping open Himself and opening up the true goodness of the gospel light. It makes everything the Holy of Holies. This one place that only had one person able to access it once a year. You remember God's tabernacle plan? There was an outer court. There was a holy place that had an access point. And then behind that was the holiest of holies, the third portion of the church. And it had a veil. And the Ark of the Covenant was back behind here for an amount of time. But it was taken and lost somewhere. But they never got rid of the veil. Because the veil is the most important piece. Because the veil is going to be who He is. The veil is going to be who He is. He's come to make earth like heaven. You understand? And so whenever He's baptized Himself, Mark chapter 1, 9 and 10, the Bible said the heavens were ripped. And what's that do? It just opens up His ministry on the earth. Which is only pointed at Himself being ripped. And what He's going to be doing in that moment is making earth like heaven. If the heavens have been ripped open, there's no more windows to open. There's no more doors to open. It's just open. And now, I would love to have that, except this massive gap between me and heaven. But here's Jesus, heaven on earth, who's coming to go for us to a place where there's curse. And on the cross, he is going to literally shed out his life's blood. His body is going to be ripped. His head, hands, feet, his side is going to be ripped, his back. And what that is going to be doing is aligning open heaven with open access from the earth. How do you access this? How do I get that access to heaven? Jesus. You get it through a new and living way. Jesus. And as he was baptized, that rips open the heavens. When you're baptized into the name of Jesus, you're baptized into that experience of death, burial, resurrection. Which is the new and living way. Provided by his body, which is the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? Body died, buried, and rose again. The body died, buried, rose again from the dead. And when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, Paul said, guess what? It's just like dying, being buried, and rising again on the third day. He's not saying that the likeness of the resurrection is the Holy Ghost. He's saying your baptism is just like this death, burial, and resurrection, this new and living way where the body dies for mankind but doesn't stay dead. And what it does is it makes everywhere the Holy of Holies. It makes everywhere heaven. It gives everywhere the opportunity now. What's he say? Anywhere you boys go, I'm with you. Anywhere. Go baptize. And you're putting people under my authority. We're changing kingdoms here. And so it's impossible to get baptized in the name of a Caesar. Or a Pharaoh. And it's amazing how many names in the Bible like Abimelech are actually names that the kings had. It wasn't a personal name. But the Philistine kings shared this title. Pharaoh had a name. Pharaoh wasn't his name. You say king? Which one? You say governor? Which governor are we talking about? You give a title of something that an individual is. What's the name? Because there's so many fathers, sons. There's so many Holy Ghosts. Which one? And the reason that's going to be important is there's only one. And the reason it's going to be important, John says, is because there's going to be many spirits. There's going to be many spirits. Just like those disciples said, Luke chapter 10, the spirits are subject unto us in thy name. And Jesus said, don't get too jacked up about that, but rather get jacked up about the fact that you've got a heavenly name. You see, he's saying, you've got your name in the right spot. In other words, there's no subjecting yourself as if it's two kingdoms clashing. But you are of heaven. You understand what I'm saying? You are of heaven. Your name's already written in heaven. That's pretty awesome. That's much greater than checking out spirits that are subject to the name of Jesus. But knowing that you and him are one. That's the greatest revelation. Knowing that your name is covered by his. Your names are written in heaven. Your name is covered by his. You want to know what saved the Jews? The Jews that didn't go home? The scripture says that one final unkilled Amalekite hates the Jews. They've always hated the Jews. Saul didn't wipe them out. They've never been wiped out completely. They're the first people that attacked Israel, when they came out of Egyptian bondage, they had a fight with the Amalekites. It wasn't over land. They weren't fighting over, hey, God said this is our land. They'll have fights in the promised land over territory. This is over identity. Amalekites are attacking a people. It's not that we're going to take their land because they ain't got any. Or their stuff. They borrowed everything they got. We're coming up against them because we want to wipe out who they are. And so here's Haman with a game plan. I want to kill every Jew. And so that's pretty ugly whenever a man that's got power has got a plan to wipe out a people. And the only thing that saved the people was that the king had written down a name. And whenever the king was looking at what he had written down in the record, he found out that there was a guy by the name of Mordecai that had informed on two people plotting against the king's life. And when he found the name of Mordecai written in the record, that led to the deliverance of God's people. Mordecai was elevated into a place of authority. And they were given the opportunity to overdo or overwrite or overcome what the king had already said would happen. And that's Esther chapter number 9. But deliverance came because there was a man whose name was covered by the king's name. When you think about that, that my identity, who I am, is covered by his name, that's why it is so important. Because there's a lot of folks doing amazing things for God. They've got faith, they've got love, they've got all these things, the Holy Ghost, but they don't have real authority. And I can't even imagine what people would do if they had real authority. I mean, we're talking people that are just changing the world. What if they had that dominion? That'd be amazing. The world needs a revelation of the name of Jesus Christ. I would give anything for any church that doesn't baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for their pastor to get a revelation of the authority of the name of Jesus and baptize his entire congregation. Not take people's people. You pastor your people, but make sure they're God's people. Get them in the name of Jesus. Get him in the name of Jesus. What does it matter that you're the son of Abraham? Because God works redemption through a name. You understand that there's no people found in Abram. There's nobody saying we're the sons of Abram. But everybody's saying we're the sons of Abraham. Because that's who he is underneath what God called him. God gave him that name. Not the name you were born with, the name God gave you. Who does God call his people? He's the God of Jacob, but who are his people? The God of Israel, which is the name he gave to Jacob at the water. Why does Isaac not get his name changed? Because God gave it to him in the beginning. You don't have a people if you don't have a new name. If you don't have a name underneath God's authority, you don't have a people. And let me tell you, my friend, you have got to understand, it's nothing about people being wrong. It's about a progressive revelation. And what hell fears is not the Holy Ghost. He's been against the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Bible said, the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. And then once you see Satan show up in Genesis 3, and the next time you see him is boom, all the way in the book of Job. Where is this guy? How come the Holy Ghost doesn't draw him out? But then when you go into the New Testament, you see him everywhere. And the reason for that is the name's there. And that's a clash of authorities. Where this authority, the kingdom of darkness, immediately is subservient to the Son of God. They know who he is. You're the Holy One of God. They know their future. Have you come to torment us before our time? Why do they know him? Because it's God manifest in flesh. It's not all of God. It's God manifest in flesh. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. All of the attributes of God are in Jesus, but not all of God is in Jesus. Why? God is not flesh. God is only flesh until he finishes the redemption process for mankind and delivers mankind. And then it's like, I can't wait to be like I was. You hear the man Christ Jesus, John 17, saying, I can't wait for the glory we had in the beginning. This stuff here, my back hurts. Because he was all flesh. And he was showing mankind that I am going to put aside deity. And show mankind that you can live victorious by being submitted to the Spirit and being submitted to the Word. And I'm not going to allow for my deity to intrude. That's not playing fair. God can't just be God. It's got to be a man who's fully God, fully man, but not all of God. And so the flesh, that name, Jesus, is everywhere. It's a common name, matter of fact. Matter of fact, Joshua, they share the same name, pretty much. Jehovah's become salvation. But there's only one person who can be what the name says. Only one. And it wasn't Joshua, because he died at 110 years of age and was buried. But Jesus was killed. He was buried. And then he rose again. And then the scripture says that as Adam, in Adam, every one of us are in the old Adam. There was one man head of the entire earth. His name was Adam. And just matter of factly, the scripture says so is Eve's name. Genesis 5, God said he called their name Adam. And so the problem is when you start separating identities. And start saying, you're a woman. No, she's Adam. But when you've got somebody who's got an identity separate from the name God gave, that's when hell shows up immediately. But hell does not show up to Adam, he shows up to the woman. Why? Because the husband separated her from himself. You shall be called woman. Because you're taken out of the man. And God said, no, in the day I created them, their name was Adam. But the Bible said that the serpent comes and starts talking to the woman. And it's only whenever I find myself separated from his identity that I find myself susceptible to defeat. That's when I find myself thinking that, hey, things could be a whole lot better than I got them. And I wouldn't mind being God myself. And I wouldn't mind being like God myself. And the Bible said that that's the first Adam. And then the scripture says the last Adam, not the second, the last Adam. The last Adam, not the second. lest there be a third or a fourth. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, the last man. The scripture said that first man, God breathed into his nostrils the spirit, breath of life, he became a living soul. But the scripture said the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, is a life-giving spirit. It's nothing about became a living soul. But now he's a life-giving spirit. Can you see the power of that right there? That there's been a transition from an experience of God getting into your nostrils and your nostrils and your nostrils and your nostrils and breathing into them, and we become living souls. And Jesus doing all of that for everybody. For there being an experience that is not recovered, but it's brand new. Adam was never a life-giving spirit. But just what happened with Adam happens with Jesus. He reproduces himself. Adam needed God to do that. Jesus reproduces himself. How does he reproduce himself? It starts here with baptism into the name of Jesus. So that we, Romans 6, rise to walk. If we're buried in the likeness of his death and burial, we shall also rise up in the likeness of his resurrection. That's the point. It's not the death and it's not the burial. It's what's on the other side. It's this life that Jesus has provided for every one of us, that we can leave our old life behind and live in the new life that he's provided, and life-giving spirit, not my own. I'm not woman, I'm Adam. You understand? And so in the name of Jesus, under him, just like Adam was the head, Jesus is the new head. You do not want a name separate from that. You don't want to be the woman separate from Adam. In other words, you want your name and his name to be the same name. We're being baptized into the name of Jesus. It's remission of sins. But everybody knows that. Baptized into the remission of sins. The scripture tells us literally the baptism. Simon Peter says that it's not a bath. 1 Peter 3:20 said Noah, his gang was saved and they went through the water. But it's not a cleansing of the flesh. He said it's just a light picture of baptism. 1 Peter 3:21, where baptism doth now save us, but not my armpit stink. But literally, it's a cleansing of our conscience. We've got a clearing of our conscience toward God. In other words, the enemies of God are made right with God. And the truth of the matter is, we know the water does nothing. And commentators want to point out, well, Peter's not saying that the water saves you because the water doesn't save you. It's like, yeah, duh. The water doesn't save, we know that. The water didn't save Noah either. What saved Noah is getting into something that could save him. It wasn't the flood that saved Noah. It was the ark. Coming into the ark saved Noah. It's not water that saves us. It's coming into the name of Jesus that saves us. It's coming within something. We're baptized into the body of Christ, the Bible tells us. He's the only one that can go through that experience. And we come out on the other side into a brand new world. Blessed, not cursed. Can you imagine when they stepped out of that boat into a brand new world? And the whole thing is that water doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. And it's only if you get in Jesus that you're going to be saved. And I'm not here to prove that I'm right, you're wrong on the name of Jesus, because there's nothing to prove. There is no other way. No other way. Acts 2:38. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized. And I think it's interesting to know that whenever prejudiced Simon Peter was sitting on a rooftop being spiritual, and God came down and said, there was a sheet with all these unclean beasts, and they're only unclean if you're still practicing Judaism. How many of you know you can eat pork and you're cool? Bacon used to be a no-no. You can throw down on bacon now. That's part of our freedom. But Simon Peter's saying, I'm not going to touch that. I've never eaten anything unclean or common in my life. And he said, don't you dare call what I've cleansed common or unclean. There's a man going to come to you, and you're going to go to his house. You're going to tell him everything he's got to do to be saved. And Simon Peter starts preaching to him reluctantly. The Holy Ghost falls while he's preaching the word. He hears him speak with tongues, and then he commands them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they're baptized, and the Jews have a problem with the fact they got the Holy Ghost. Very next chapter, Acts 11, they're like, what? Simon Peter's like, I know. I felt the same thing, but then I remembered what he said about baptism and John baptized with water, but we'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But they didn't have a problem with baptism in Jesus' name, because that was a command. The Holy Ghost, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. But he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a command. When he spoke to Cornelius, he commanded Cornelius. He didn't command them to receive the Holy Ghost. That just happened. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And the Jews don't have a problem with baptism in the name of Jesus, because it's a command that must be obeyed. But we thought we're the only ones to get this Holy Ghost. That's what makes us special. I just found that interesting, that there's no big deal with baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. They know it's a command. You must. What can you do to receive the Holy Ghost? You can yield to the Holy Ghost. You can't do anything. When you repent, you're changing your mind. Don't cry, don't slobber. You're changing direction, mind. It's over. Whatever I was is done. That's what it is. It's literally a paradigm shift. And that is when you get faith toward God, the next thing is baptisms. It's literally the foundational doctrine. It's literally repentance from dead works, which is religion. I can't do it. And it's faith toward God. The doctrine of baptisms. And the first baptism is the Holy Ghost. Or rather, baptism in the name of Jesus. That is every one of us. The shall receive, the gift of the Holy Ghost, is never attached to effort. He never said, go baptize them in the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. But baptism in Jesus' name is you. Making steps off of what you now see is real. And a paradigm shift that says he's my Savior requires you to go to a cross. And you got to make sure you're coming from the right direction. And you go to a baptism. And you rise to walk in newness of life. It's not just a symbolic act. It's not going public with your faith. It is literally a change, transformation, regeneration. It's something that is so important that what hell rises up against in Acts chapter number 3 and 4 and 5 is Jesus' name. They don't come up against the Holy Ghost or the miracles. They say, I thought we said don't teach in His name. And here you are trying to bring His blood upon us. And little did they know that's exactly what they were trying to do. Because the name and the blood are together. The name and the blood. That's where you get the blood of washing. That's where you get that whole change that takes place. That cleansing. My sins are washed away. Is such a small part of baptism in Jesus' name. It's the fact that I've got a right. It's the fact that I have got a right. I have got family rights. You know, I don't know why I just thought of this story, but way back, we had a buddy's house that we used to go hang out at all the time, just a gang of us guys in high school. And his parents didn't have too many rules, and so it worked out really good for us all. And we'd all go crash there, we'd all stay there, and it was almost like we were family, but we weren't. We weren't family. And there's a massive difference from almost being like family. And then Pete's not there. Now Pete's the son. We're all friends. Almost like family. Like eat all their cereal. Sleep on their couches. People puked on their couches. We stayed in their garage. We stayed up all night long. We played basketball in Alaska. The sun don't go down too much. And so played basketball all night long, got them in trouble with the neighbors, got them in trouble with the police, got big old brawls going on in the parking lot, but we were still just almost. And there came one day that Pete wasn't there. And neither were the parents. And so a couple of us guys were getting antsy on, let's get in the house. And so a couple of them just went ahead and opened up the window. And went in, and I said, no. And so I just stayed out in my car. And before Pete came home, the parents came home. And so we're talking about the same people we've done the dumbest things in front of. But they walk into their house, and there's two guys sitting on their couch eating their cereal without their sons. You talk about going from zero to as bad as it gets so quick. And finding out, I'm not Pete. Turns out I'm not a Gonzalez. I'm real close, but I don't have the go through the window rights. And I think that there's something about baptism in the name of Jesus. That's the name. Ephesians 3:15, that all of heaven is named under. The whole family. And when you've got that name, you've got the rights in this book. This is your will. This is His testament to His children. And so this stuff is mine. Whether or not you're in it or not, this stuff's mine. And I don't got to worry about getting kicked out of the house or being made to feel like I don't fit. Why? Because I'm His son. And the scripture says we're joint heirs with Christ. That name, James 2:7, that was called over you in baptism. When you talk about the invoking or professing or confessing, the initial in Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4:10, it's talking about confession, profession. You're talking about baptism. That initial confession, profession, hold on to it. It's when you said, I'm His in the name of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just the preachers that said it, they said it. When you baptize someone in the name of Jesus Christ, you didn't just say in the name of Jesus, they said it as well. There's a confession that they gave forth that I'm no longer what I was. I'm different now. This is real. And do they feel it? No, they know it. That's so foundational that the apostle talks about it in every single one of his letters to the churches. He talks about baptism in Romans 6 before he talks about walking in the Spirit and victory in ministry. He talks about baptism, Colossians 2, before he talks about church life. He talks about baptism in Ephesians before he talks about warfare. We've got to understand that the power of what we do is based off of who we are, and who we are is nothing if we've not been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. That's what makes it holy, and that's what makes you holy. It's a name. That's just a real repentance, remission of sins will be taught in my name, beginning Jerusalem, Luke 24. I mean, it's all through the scripture. I'm one of those individuals, and I'm done with this, but I'm one of those individuals that I don't care what the organization believes that I was brought up in, and you know a lot of that is true. Because there's a lot of things that we don't do in our church that others do. We call that apropos. Holy Ghost is the greatest experience. Speaking in tongues, praying in tongues is so amazing. But there's no real place in Scripture that says if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're going to hell. There's no real thing that says, I command you. We know it's a gift. We know it's necessary. We know your life is incomplete without it. We know all those things. I believe it is salvation. But the Bible doesn't say absolute. But baptism? Every one of you. I know that's absolute. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's in Scripture. It is a must. You must be born again of water and Spirit. So you read in the Scriptures. And there's not one place in Scripture, not one place in early history where there was baptism any other possible way. Not sprinkling, not dousing with water, literal baptism, immersion into the water in the name Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a confession of an identity. We are that people. They're called the people of the way. We're those guys. After the way that was called heresy, that's who I am, Paul said. We're after the way, which is Jesus, and that way was made possible by the ripping of his flesh. The veil from the top to the bottom ripped. In the temple at the same time that Jesus died. Heaven did that. No more veils. This is what I look like. If the princes of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified him. They didn't crucify him. A high priest is who led to the crucifixion. And he led to the crucifixion in obedience to God's word. He prophesied in John 11 that one needs to die for the sins of all. It wasn't a bad thing that Jesus died. It was a must happen. It was a, that's why I'm here, to die. So hell didn't kill anybody. This was planned before the foundation of our world. And the way and the pathway that was opened up to us is where? It's through the waters of baptism. That's the way. And all of a sudden, here's this new living way that I'm introduced into, this whole new identity. Who are you? I'm a disciple. How do you know I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Because his word is not written for anybody but his children. So why on earth would a testament be obeyed by somebody that wasn't even his kid? That's first baptism. In Jesus' name. Now I am a people. Now I am his son. Now the testament means something. Tammy, you're the passing of your mother and the war that ensues over, most families have a war that ensues over the will. And so I prayed for Tammy through that whole process, but you know, I got, my name's not even in that thing. So really, I'm not getting jacked from that. I'm praying for her because I love her. But this here, the second testament, Hebrews 9, it requires the death of the testator to make it actually work. Otherwise, why do you got a will and testament? I don't get what is in my parents' will until my dad dies. Then it's mine. But while he's living, no. It requires the death of the testator, so Jesus had to die. But our testator didn't stay dead. After he activated this will, he rose again. And gave us the power to live it and to be it. That's what's so glorious. It's literally us celebrating with our Father over an inheritance that can never be lost because he liveth. Go spend it all righteous living. He liveth. It's not lost. It's not over. Come back home and do it again. Celebrating. You didn't lose Jack, son. Come on home and celebrate with your dad because your dad's not dead. You got the rights before he died. Stand with me, please. You must be. That's why when we say holy, holy is the name of Jesus Christ. That's why. We're literally underneath the name of Jesus. To me, that's what I search for in the New Testament. That's what I pray, literally I pray for that more than I pray for anything else if it comes to revelation. Is God, let me know what that is. What? Let me know what it means to be in that name. Not saying your name, in it. As you are in this earth, so are we. What are you guys fighting over, Paul said? You think I'm your man? Did I die for you? Was I buried for you? Were you baptized in my name? Paul said, no. Nobody's your guy. We're all his. Why? Because that's whose name we were baptized in. Christ's. And Christ is God's. We're underneath here the salvation work of God himself that required himself to veil himself. And the reason why it's called a veil is because he doesn't look like God. You understand? That's the veil part of it. You never have to feel bad about, like, is there a Trinity with sons talking about the Father? It's the flesh. The flesh. Whose father's not even his father. The Holy Ghost is his daddy. If we want to pull it apart. But the sonship, the salvation work of Jesus, that is until the end of the age. He says, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. There's not going to be a need for Christ in heaven. When there's a new heaven and a new earth, there won't be a need for the name of Jesus. But his name is the Word of God. You understand? This name is to get us. And once this program is over, and the church is raptured, and the fights and all the stuff that's going to happen, I don't understand the end time. You don't need the name, because the name is only to reclaim a people. It's salvation. And if there's no need for salvation, there's no need for the name. So you've got the flesh. You do not look like God because I'm God veiled. I'm hiding the mercy seat. I'm literally, I got more in me than you can see. But it's going to take an opening for that to be revealed. And that's when the mercy seat will be revealed. He'll become our propitiation on the cross when he bleeds out. His blood is our propitiation. It should be our blood, but it's his blood that became the life for all mankind. That's where mercy's revealed and glory's found and is ushers out. And we've got this new thing going on under the last Adam. In Jesus' name. So I would pray that the eyes of our understanding would not be veiled or blocked. The big guy upstairs, my homeboy, anything but the name of Jesus. Anything but the name of Jesus. Baptism is a symbol of your new faith. Nope. Why do you think there's such an attack against Jesus' name? Because it's the literal circumcision of heaven. It's that surgery without hands. Where you become a people. Just like you were brand new born. You remember they were circumcised at 8 days old. Except for Abraham, which that sounds fun. With a jagged knife at 90. Hey, guys, guess what? But that made him a covenant participator. It's the baptism, Colossians 2. Is circumcision, where the flesh is changed into his people. We can't do that. Surgery only heaven can do. And it only happens by obedience. I don't care if you see it or believe it in all of its aspects or understand it all, you just obey. That's it. That's what I'm calling for is obedience. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, it's just a challenge to obey. And I don't even know if there's anybody here that's never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe there isn't. But I just believe that it's time to exalt his name. And let the world know You want to know why you feel something different at Connect Point? It's not just we love people or we're kind. We've got His name. That's what you feel different. Like, oh, I feel, you feel Jesus. You feel what you can only give to somebody if you've been baptized in that name. So disciples of Jesus Christ, if you have never been baptized in Jesus' name. Now, if you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, which is Jesus Christ, I don't got a problem with that. As long as Jesus Christ was spoken over you in baptism. If it wasn't, I'm not saying you didn't have an experience with God, or that it didn't mean anything, or it didn't do anything. I'm just saying you've got to be baptized again in Jesus' name. They were baptized in water according to John's baptism. Nobody took away from that. Nobody said, dude, that didn't do jack. He said, hey, remember John was pointing beyond himself to Jesus? When they heard that, Acts 19:5, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. That's what I'm saying here. It's important because it's a command. It's a command. So if you're here and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, and you would like to be baptized in Jesus' name, I want you to maybe come forward here. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and you would like to be baptized, we've got a horse trough. We've got a horse trough with probably like 5 gallons of warm water. And so it'll be like you're at the River Jordan. Matter of fact, we'll sell you some of that water later. I'm joking. Amen. But if you'd like to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we would love to help you obey the Lord's command. Introduce you to what John 5 called the name of the Father. John 14:26, the Holy Ghost will be given in my name. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's identity. You're being immersed into an identity. If you'd like to be baptized in the name of Jesus, just step up here to the front. We'll give you a second or two or three. I remember one of the most powerful baptisms that I've ever been a part of was a man in the church that got rebaptized. He had been baptized before in Jesus' name, but that was when he was a child, and he got rebaptized. And this just so happens to be whenever we were at the other building, we had zero hot water, so it was literally just cold water. And so he had goosebumps, you know, which could have been the cold water, could have been the Holy Ghost, I don't know which one. But it meant something. When he come up out of that water, he was changed. It wasn't that he got salvation. It was identity. It was this is who I am now. And it was powerful. It doesn't just have to be, I was baptized in another way, but baptized in the name of Jesus Christ makes you not just saved. It makes you Jesus. It makes you this family. Just like you see Jew, now you're Jesus. You're this called out people that are created by Him. That's what happens to you. That's why you can say there's not male or female, there's not Jew or Greek, there's not Jew or Gentile, there's Jesus. Bottom line, that's what it boils down to, is that you just get this new identity. It's not that you're sexless or your nationality's taken away from you or any of that. It's just showing you that the core identity that you have now is Him. And it's the Him beyond the cross. Don't dip back into the Him that's veiled. Live in the victory that can walk through walls, be healed in seconds, rise up out of the dead by himself. Go down and tell those spirits sleeping with women in Genesis 6 that guess what? You're staying in jail. You're reserved in darkness. And then lead captivity captive. Give gifts to men. That's power. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. So is there anybody that's not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you would like to be baptized? Otherwise, I got to tell you that whenever you got baptized in what? The name of the Father. Father here in Greek's used for other fathers. Which one are you talking about? Your daddy? You talk about the Holy Ghost. You're talking about a word that's used for the wind. You're talking about a word that's used for human spirit. Which spirit are you talking about? Name of the Son? Which Son are you talking about? Elizabeth's son? Those aren't names. But you say Jesus, we know. We know. So, that would be all that's going to happen here today. A call for obedience. Call for obedience. That's all it is. Let's close our eyes right here. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the opportunity, Lord, to experience you and your authority, your presence at the end of the age, your name, the things that it washes away our sins, Lord. Regenerates us, Lord Jesus Christ. It renews us. It empowers us. It authorizes us. It gifts us. Calls us. Makes us family, Jesus. Maybe, God, one of the greatest things that you've ever done for us is make us part of a family. I'm so thankful, Lord God, that you do that. You put people in family. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this family that you've given us here in Spokane, God. I thank you, Lord, that we've got other brothers and sisters here in this church. When we don't have family in the natural, we've got this eternal family here. What a wonder, what a mystery that is, God. And I thank you, Lord, for that all in your name. I thank you, Lord God, for the covering, the protection. I thank you for the fear that hell feels in your name. I pray the blessing of Almighty God rest upon your people. And I pray revelation would come to people here, Lord Jesus, to the city, to pastors. The importance of your name, Jesus. Salvation and strength and authority and identity and inheritance. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that there'd be a renewal of that first confession and profession and the faith that went with it and the free access we have. Because of that, I thank you, God, for revealing yourself to us. In Jesus' name.